Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Amazing. Good morning, church. You good? I'm trying to see you through the yellow haze up here. We're going to have a great morning. This last few weeks, I don't know about you, but I love this series, That Church. I'm really the heart of the last few weeks, and obviously been kind of centered around vision builders, but it's so much more than just, you know, us pledging money. Can I tell you that? That's the tangible thing, but really the reality of it is so much more. For us to be a kind of church that people recognize for the right reasons. You know, there's a lot of churches and there's a whole bunch of talk, right? Oh, that church. We want to be that church. That church that helped my family through this crisis. That church that helped reconcile my marriage, that church that helped my kids grow up in the house of God. We want to be that kind of church that's known and has a reputation for bringing light, sharing hope. But you know, I don't know about you, but I find that the framing of that can be, you know, make us think, oh, you know, if that church was gone, you know, the question of if our church wasn't in our community, would people notice? It's kind of a confronting question, isn't it? Like, But sometimes we think, oh, okay, well, maybe it just means, okay, if the building wasn't there, if we could drive down the parkway, all green, no weird field halfway along, or if the services weren't on. But I think a better way to frame it is rather than that church is those people. Are we those people? The best way for us to be that church collectively is to become those people individually. We're going to have such an impact that we would be noticeable. It would be noticeable if we weren't present. Noticeable. People would notice. It's kind of confronting, isn't it? We desire to be a church that's active and not passive. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And that's our question for us that we're going to talk about this morning. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Open our eyes. Pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would know you better today. Help us lean into what you're doing, what you're saying. Pray that we would be a kind of church that brings light and hope into our world. It's known for what we build, known for what we bring. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Can we thank our musicians? Thank you, guys. You can grab a seat. That church. And, you know, it is confronting, right? Are we noticed? Are people noticed? If we were, you know, it's easy to ask the question, if the church was gone, would people notice? But the more confronting is if you disappeared, would people notice? If you disappeared, would your neighbors notice? If you disappeared, would your colleagues, would it be noticeable your lack of presence because of what you bring to that space? Interesting question, isn't it? And so I want to, a little title I've got for this message this morning is Heaven Has a Name. Heaven has a name. We're going to start by this scripture in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, our kind of core scripture for this series of That Church. And it says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. That's interesting. What an amazing promise, right? The peacemakers would be called children of God. But can I tell you that peacemaking does not make us a child of God? Peacemaking, being a peacemaker, being someone who's bringing God's peace, bringing God's kingdom into a situation, that's not what makes us a child of God. It's what makes us known as a child of God. Peacemaking is what gives us the reputation as they are born of God. Only through faith in Christ do we become children of God. Peacemaking is what gives us the reputation of being that church, being those people. And so the confronting question is what are we known as? What are we known as? That's pretty sober. Like, what is your reputation? What is my reputation? What is our reputation? I love profiling tests. Anybody? Like, so I have like a whole note on my phone of like all my different, you know, boxes that the world's decided to put me in, just so I remember them. You know, and obviously, you know, personality tests, working styles, what friend's character are you, all these kind of things, right? One that I've loved more recently is like, what's your Top Gun call sign? Right, Jeff? Yeah, the bald eagle. I can see it. Just came to me. I love you. What's your call sign? And you know, and so what's that one word? If you were to be defined by one word, like if you're a fighter pilot and you had just had one word to kind of sum up the nature, the who you are, your drive, what would it be? And so as a family, we decided we'd come up with our call signs. And I am a dad of two beautiful kids, a 1-year-old and a three-nager. Pray for me because we're trying to get all the teenage angst out at 3 so that when by the time we get to hit 13, it's all gone. I'm not sure if it works that way, but pray for us anyway. And so because, you know, we're thinking, okay, what are the call signs for our family? And so our beautiful 1-year-old here, Ren, he's Mr. Smiles. That's his call sign. Because he's one. He just smiles at everyone and it's very sweet. Our 4-year-old, our almost 4-year-old, we've given the call sign Dictator. Because, you know, I'll let you fill in the blanks. So anyway, and so the question is, what are we known as? What's the word that the world puts over us? And I found it's possible to be a child of God, yet not be known as one. That's sobering. That we can, by faith, we can be a child of God. By faith, we're in Christ, where we are in reality a child of God, yet we're still not known, not seen as a child of God. There's two ways I've found in my, this is the genius of my thinking anyway, is that there's two ways I can see that a light cannot be seen. One, it's not on, right? So the light's not on, obviously you can't see the light, the light's not on. Two, that the light is hidden. The light's hidden. So it's either not on or it's hidden. Now, we know that by faith, we are children of God, and therefore Jesus calls us the light of the world. The light of Christ has come into our hearts, and we therefore become the light of the world. That's what Jesus says. And so we know if we've got faith in Christ, the light's on. That's not the issue, which means if the light isn't seen, it's because the light is hidden. Through faith, our light gets turned on. And so if you've got faith in Christ, there is a light on the inside of you that can shine into dark places of our world. Simple as that. It's through action that our light is seen. And Jesus tells that parable that no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. They put it on a stand so that it gives light to the whole house. And so it would be crazy for us to light a lamp, for the light of Christ to come into our lives, and yet we don't position it and place it so that it actually does what it's purposed to do. Instead, we hide it and I don't know if you've ever done that science experiment where you cover a light and you cut off its oxygen. What happens? It goes out, it gets suffocated. We hide our light under a bowl and eventually it goes out. Inaction, hiding our light will suffocate our faith. And as I was kind of preparing this and thinking, I was thinking perhaps possibly some people here and you feel that light of your faith is flickering. You feel a sense of your faith waning. And not for ill intent or anything like this, but you're like, oh God, I wish I could be used. I wish I could do something. I want to. And I believe that every Christian who's genuinely received the light of God wants to make a difference, wants to discover their purpose, wants to have an impact. And yet we feel our faith waning because we've kind of, without even realizing it, maybe hidden it under that bowl. And we start to feel the flicker of the lack of oxygen. And so because we're like, oh, we want to stir this back up. I want to do it. And so what do? We do what often we're taught to do. And we pile on wood. We try and stoke the fire. We try and light the flame again. We pour on oil or we put on timber, whatever flame you've got. We try to put stuff on it. We put prayer on. We put word on. We go to Connect Group more. We go to church more. We go to a conference. We get another book. We listen to more podcasts and we're piling things on the flame. But if it's still hidden and still lacking oxygen, that's only going to smother it quicker. And so perhaps if our faith is waning, what you'd need is not more stuff piled on top, but actually things taken off and you're starting to move, create some movement and some oxygen. And maybe it's actually just sharing your faith with a friend. Maybe it's stepping out and praying for someone. Maybe that's what's going to bring your faith alive again. Not more wood, not more fuel, but actually oxygen for your faith. It's interesting, I find that peacemaking is what is called the thing that's associated with someone born of God, with a child of God. It's peacemaking. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. It's not blessed are the joy givers. It's not blessed are the even disciple makers. It's not blessed are the healing ministers, they will be the children of God. It's blessed are the peacemakers. Don't you find that interesting? Interesting, isn't it? I wonder why that is. What's the connection between peacemaking and the children of God? One of the names that Christ is given by the prophet Isaiah, started the book of Isaiah, he's having this revelation of God, this revelation of Christ. He starts to list out these different names, the Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, and then Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace, what a wonderful name for Christ. But you know, whenever that delegation of title is given, it's usually in relation to land, to territory. Think about it. Queen of England, King of Denmark, a Princess of Genovia. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. What does that mean? That peace isn't just a feeling, isn't just a state of being. It's not even a person. Peace is a place. Peace is a territory. It is a domain that we occupy. Peace is our homeland. Peace is the domain and the territory of Christ. And it's not just that the kingdom of God is a peaceful kingdom. It is the kingdom of peace. The kingdom of shalom. Shalom, that's the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. And it's way more than just a sense of harmony. Shalom represents the original intent of creation. Shalom is the picture of wholeness, of human flourishing, of perfection and order and wholeness and completion in our world. The kingdom of shalom. Colossians 2:10, one of my favorite scriptures since I was a teenager, says this, "And in Christ you have been brought to fullness." Another translation says, in Christ, you have been made complete. You've been given fullness. You've been made whole in Christ. In other words, shalom has been restored to you. Shalom, God's wholeness, God's original intent, God's perfect design has been restored and given back in full to you in Christ. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Interesting, I don't want to give this too much thought, but I find it even fascinating that the seventh beatitude is blessed are the peacemakers, seven being the number of wholeness and completion in Scripture. It's also interesting that shalom is the cornerstone Jewish blessing in their society. Think about it. Whenever they enter a room or enter a conversation, shalom. Whenever they leave, shalom, shalom, shalom. Jesus said, peace I leave with, shalom I leave with you. This is the cornerstone. It's a prophetic statement into the atmosphere, the places and the spaces and the people that they talk to. They're speaking shalom. They're peacemaking. They're speaking shalom into every space that they walk into. Shalom is a prophetic statement. It's a nod to Eden. And therefore, as children of God, we are therefore citizens of peace, citizens of the kingdom of Shalom. Heaven has a name. We are sons and daughters of Shalom and therefore ambassadors of it too. As ambassadors, wherever we go, the atmosphere of peace, the atmosphere of Shalom, and the governing laws of and covering of peace go with us. A peace that transcends understanding, as we know from Philippians. It transcends understanding, not just because we don't get it. Like, oh, peace, it's pretty magical. We don't get it. It transcends our own. It's not about this. No, it's because it's from another world. It's another kingdom. It's another dimension. It's another reality. It transcends our current time and place. And we are ambassadors of that dimension, the kingdom of Shalom, another realm. It's not a world we're escaping to. It's not a dimension, a place. Heaven's not a place we're escaping to. It's a realm that is being revealed and restored here and now. This is how Jesus was able to sleep through a storm. I don't know if you've read that passage. We've heard it preached. Jamie Malcolm preached on it a few weeks ago. Amazing message. Where Jesus is going through a severe storm. They literally think they're going to die. It's not like they're just, you know, it's a bit of swell. And Jesus is, you know, a good sailor. He doesn't get motion sickness. It's not that. No, they think they're going to die. And Jesus is sleeping on a cushion. How can that be? How can that be? It is because he was physically in a storm, but he was spiritually, internally, he was lying beside still waters. He was more connected to and aware of the land of peace than he was the land of panic. He was connected to the realm of Shalom. And we are called to be restorers of Shalom to the world, reconcilers of heaven and earth under Christ. The work of justice and the work of peacemaking are actually one and the same. To restore and to make right and to bring whole that which has been broken is the work of justice and peacemaking. And it outworks in two ways. It outworks spiritually, but also tangibly, physically, internally and externally. It's the peace with God and the peace of God. It's justification before God and the justice of God around us. It's like Nehemiah rebuilding both the walls and then the temple being rebuilt too. It's interesting in church and in the church world, there's a kind of a spectrum on this scale. And we find some Christians, some churches kind of at one end of the scale where it's all about the internal. It's all about the spiritual peacemaker. It's all about making you right before God and justified before God and just get them saved and get them right with God. And that's good. It's not, obviously, that's not wrong. That's great. That's amazing. That's beautiful. But it's incomplete. Because at the other end of the scale, we have other groups of Christians and where it's all about activism. It's all about social transformation. It's all about changing laws. It's all about the community and we need to, you know, do good and have good works and be a positive impact. And that's all, and that's great, amazing as well, of course. It's not one or the other. It is both. Peacemakers do both. It's internal and external. It's spiritual, it's physical. It's peace with God, it's the peace of God. We do both. And so how do we do this? Good question. How do we here, Oxford Falls, middle of winter, how do we play a part in this story? One of my, another amazing scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 says this in verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us." How beautiful, because Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and was raised again. So from now on, everyone say from now on. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. You know, that word there for new is not a brand new, it's a renewed. It's a, we are renewed, we are restored. The heaven, that Shalom is restored to us. The original intent is restored. It's made whole again. The new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here, and this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Amazing, right? Now to preface, this picture is meant to be motivated by love, not legalism. This is not another, we need to be a better people. We need to do more. We need to love more. That's not this. That's not, oh, we probably should. We're Christian. Should probably, you know, be a Christian. That's not this. This is that we are compelled by the love that we have received. That this is an overflow. This is a joy that we want to freely give because we have freely received. And so how do we do this? Number one, we see differently. We see differently. We view differently. Our perspective has changed. It says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We don't see people from a human perspective. We see them with God's eyes, with God's heart, with eyes of humility and compassion. The person we once saw one way, we now see a different way. It reminds me of the story of Peter and John after Pentecost when they walked to the temple again to pray at their usual time, a walk they had walked regularly, daily, multiple times a day. And at this particular time, they saw a man and they gave him what they had. Silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, we give to you. Get up and walk. Beautiful. This is not the first time they'd seen this man. It was the first time they'd seen him with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, though. We see differently. As peacemakers who have been filled with God, justified before God, peace with God, we see now differently. Who are we? Who do we? Who's God calling us to see differently? That maybe we've seen one way and we need to shift our thinking, shift our perspective to see the way God sees. Number two, if I can get the band back up, that'd be awesome. We serve differently. We serve differently. Says we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. From now on, I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so to minister, the word literally means to serve. It's actually a hospitality term that means to bring service, to serve something to someone. And the best way we can represent the kingdom of Shalom, the kingdom of God, is to serve. Can I tell you, serving softens the soil. Serving softens the soil. The hands of generosity, hospitality, and kindness, this is what softens people's hearts. This is my story. This is how I came to Christ. Because two 15-year-olds in my grade at school thought, you know what? We're going to see him differently. We're going to see him differently to the way some other people in my school saw me. We're going to see him differently. We're not going to just see him. We're going to serve. And so they used generosity, acts of kindness, and prayer to soften the soil of my heart. That's how we serve. That's how we're ministers of reconciliation. We're generous publicly. We're prayerful privately. Generous publicly. Prayerful, intercessory privately. That's peacemaking. We do what we can physically. We wage war spiritually. Let's not get that round the wrong way. Waging war physically. Enjoying God privately. No. Come on. We love. We're friends. We're friends with sinners. We're friends. Love people. Serve. Generous. Encourage. Privately. God, soften their hearts. Prayer and generosity will soften a heart quicker than just about anything. We see differently, we serve differently. Amazing scripture in Corinthians as well. I don't have it. It says, we've become all things to all people so that by all possible means we may save some. being a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador of shalom, a peacemaker, a child of God, will require us to let go of part of ourselves to be the person God's wanting us to be to someone else. I've become all things to all people. Laid down my own sense of identity. Oh, that's not me. I'm not like that. No, I've become all things. That's not my person. I've become all things to all people. So by all possible means, I may save some. Final thing is we speak differently. It says he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. It's interesting. There is a distinction between the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. They are not the same. There is an order. You soften the seed before, you soften the soil, and then you sow the seed. We're called to soften before we sow. Because you cannot sow seed on hard ground. It's no point, it's wasted. Maybe you've been frustrated because you've been trying to speak to people, you're trying to share Jesus and you're trying to sow seeds, but the soil hasn't been softened. And when we do speak, there'll be a moment when we do, it sounds different. It sounds like God, it sounds like Christ. It's words that edify, words that bring life, words that breathe life into people's hearts. Words that are water for the weary. And you know, maybe you're here and you're like, you know what, Mitch, I just, this sounds great. Sounds awesome. This is great for my wife. She's really good at this. This is great for the church to do. It's great for Marcia. She's awesome at this. This is great, you know, those people are really good at it. We don't feel ready. It's not because we don't want to. It's not because we don't love people. I believe with all my heart, church, you love people. Come on, if there's an ounce of Christ in you, you can't not. Church, you're amazing. There's so many amazing people in your world that you've reached out to. But we hesitate because I don't feel ready. Can I tell you, readiness is not from you. It's not self-conjured. Readiness is not self-conjured. Let me show you. Found this passage a little while ago now. I was reading in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. Well-known passage, picture of what God's given us. And there's this moment in verse 15, it says this, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." So I Googled armor of God and you got images. You see all the kids' ministry pictures. This is a go-to kids' ministry passage. Armor of God's quite visually appealing. And often it's the feet, it's peace, fitted with peace. That's not it. It's wrong. Our feet aren't fitted with peace. They're fitted with readiness. Readiness. Part of the armor of God is a sense of readiness. It's not that we have peaceful feet, whatever that is. You have ready feet. You're ready. You've been made ready. You've been equipped with a sense of readiness. It comes from the gospel of peace, the good news of shalom. Come on. And so as we engage with the Prince of Peace, as we come under his rule, under his reign, as we occupy our homeland of peace, as we engage with the dimension and the kingdom of shalom, it's not far off, it's just here. It's like pulling back a curtain. It's right here, it's in our midst. Like Jesus, he was in the middle of a storm and he just pulled back the curtain on peace and it overtook the storm. We engage with another realm, another dimension, the kingdom of God. As we do come under that rule, we occupy that land, we settle in our homeland, suddenly we feel, hang on, feel ready. In and out of season, highs, lows, good days, bad days, I'm ready. I'm ready. God's made me ready to share shalom with the world. Why don't you close your eyes? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here and you've hearing this and you're like, you know what, I feel like that. I feel totally at dis-peace, totally disconnected from that sense, that feeling, that place of peace in my life. Things feel chaotic. Your mind feels confused. Things seem out of order. This morning, we're going to take a moment right now to ask the Prince of Peace to come and bring His rule, bring the governing of His kingdom of peace into your heart, into your life. And no one looking around, between you and God, if you need that covering, that atmosphere, that presence of the Prince of Peace to set up His homeland in your heart, if you need that, no one looking around, why don't you just slip your hand up and say, Mitch, that's me. I need that. I need to reconnect. Awesome. Anybody else? I need God to come and be back on the throne of my life. Here this morning, I'm going to do that right now. Take a moment. Ask yourself, is that the reality that I experience? Is that the reality that I live in? Is the Prince of Peace the ruler of my life? If there's anybody else, why don't you give me a wave? Just say, that's me. I want to pray that prayer. Acknowledge it before the Lord. I need that. Thank you, Jesus. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. All together as a family. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for your peace, your love, your grace. Over my life, I open my heart. I invite you in to rule, to reign, to be my Lord, to establish peace in my heart and my life. Help me follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, we thank the Lord. People lifted their hands. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to worship one more time. I want you to just allow that reality, that dimension, that kingdom to come close. Kingdom God is within us. It's within us. Come on, let's reach out. Let's allow the peace of God. Let's allow the Prince of Peace to come close this morning.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.